On behalf of the IBM WebSphere Portal team, I'd like to welcome you to our 2013 Open Mic webcast series. Today's topic is migrating to WebSphere Portal and Web Content Manager, V8, Best Practices and Troubleshooting Tips. My name again is Jennifer Kelly, and I'll be the moderator for the Open Mic. We'll start out today with a presentation by Mr. Joseph John and Mr. Barry Pellis. Joseph is a developer, and his focus is on portal migrations, and Mr. Pellis is the lead migration architect. So when their presentation is complete, you'll be given an opportunity to ask questions over the phone. In addition to Joseph and Barry, we have a room full of developers and a few others from support on hand to help you answer your questions. And with that, I'd now like to hand the call over to Joseph to begin his presentation. So, Joseph, whenever you're ready.
Thanks, Jen. And as Jen said, I'm the Portal Migration Development Lead. I've been working at IBM for over 10 years and actually started at the same time but moved to Portal last year. And today, I just wanted to go over the Portal migration process and give some pointers that should be beneficial as you prepare and plan your migration. Portal, as you know, is a business-critical application, so you want to ensure that the source environment remains running as much as possible, and the portal migration process takes this into account. You know, the portal migration has a really big scope. It's a complex product consisting of over 300 components, and it consumes many technologies that are always being updated, like JSF, Dojo, CSS, databases, and being built on WebSphere, which is just a beast in and of itself. One of the other difficulties is that portal is very customizable, so we always need to consider that. So, the plan for the talk today is just to give an overview of the portal migration process and talk about some important tips and strategies for migration, and then discuss two of the major feature changes in portal, managed pages and static pages. Next slide, please. So I want to start off by making sure everybody understands what the portal migration is going to accomplish. After completing the migration, you should end up with a portal site that looks and acts just like the original site, except running on a new version. So you can see in the before and after diagram, right, they look exactly the same. The new features are installed, but the reason for not enabling and applying features like new themes is that portal is very customizable, and it's not possible to predict what each customer is going to require. So after the core migration, depending on standards supported by the source and target versions, there's going to be a chance that some of your custom applications will need to be updated to comply with the newer standards. So you want to make sure you take that into account. One example of this is going from Portal 6 to Portal 6.1, the Web XML standard was updated from 1.1 to 1.2, and it began enforcing the order of items. So a portal that wouldn't load up correctly if the items weren't in the correct order anymore. Now let's go to slide 4, please. The reason we call this a migration and not an upgrade is because it's a side-by-side process. Basically, a new WebSphere portal instance is installed, and the data from the current one is moved to the new instance and then converted to work on that instance. The benefit of this process is that the source portal server can continue to run while the target environment is being brought up. If we try to do an in-place upgrade, it would require the original environment to be down during the entire upgrade, which could be hours or days. And obviously, that's not going to work for a 24/7 business-critical application. Another good thing to be aware of is that generally, we support migrations from the previous two versions. So for Portal 8, we support migrations from 6.1 and 7. If you're on Portal 6 or older, you need to first migrate to one of those two versions before moving to 8. Also, as you plan your migration, you want to keep in mind that you cannot change platforms or sell or node names during the migration. All those changes can be done before migration using a staging environment or after the migration is complete. Let's move to slide 5. The most important thing we'll be talking about today is planning, and I really can't emphasize that enough. So Portal, like we said, is a very complex product, and when you start bringing in clusters, disaster recovery, backups, single sign-on, load balancer, syndication, all these things, it just makes it much more complex. So we really need to have a clear understanding of where the environment is now and where we want the environment to be. One of the most important things we need to do is define complete. Now, this could be different for every customer. Do you just want a working portal 8 environment? Do you want to add any new portal customizations or themes? How much of the content needs to be tested, right? There's a lot of things to consider. Once we know our end goal, we want to make sure that we have a good plan for how to get from the source environment to the target environment. Make sure your plan includes things like creating backups, porting applications and themes, and even getting familiar with the new environment. And make sure you don't forget to factor these things into your timeline. The services portal provides are important. You want our pack to include testing to make sure that it works and you're confident that it'll be successful on the production environment. Definitely take some time to practice the migration on a simple standalone environment so you can be familiar with the steps and build up to more complex environments. Slide six, please. Okay, so let's actually start talking about the migration process. If you've ever done a migration of Portal before, you'll be familiar with the process. You try to keep the migration process as familiar as possible while simplifying the process. Also, if you can get familiar with the process now, it will help you in the future as the process will continue to be similar. We might make a few key tweaks, like adding parameters to simplify things, but all in all, it's not going to change very much. Okay, slide seven. So let's start off talking about what you need to do to prepare your source and target environment. Next slide. You want to make sure that you apply the latest fix packs. This is one of the things that's really easy to skip, but it needs to be done on the source and target environments. There's a link to the recommended fix packs and the references that you can click on in the PDF if you download, or you can just search for it in Google. Oh, actually, just to explain about the slides, I've tried to show all the steps for each section and highlight the one in the particular slide that I'm talking about in the bold face. You can see there. The S and T in front of each of the steps indicates the source or target environment that the step is being run on. Also, I'll generally try to highlight any changes with a star or new color or some other sort of a visual cue. So hopefully it's a little easier to follow along. If you download the slides, you'll see it's a pretty long, almost 100 slides, but most of it's from learning the slides to simulate these animations. So in this current diagram, you can see like there's a little star by the WAS8 and WebSphere Portal 8 binaries in the target environment. So those would be the things that have changed. So let's see, for slide 9, the binary install, this is actually a new option available in the Install Manager UI when installing Portal 8. It's a little hidden under a twisty, but you should be able to find it. Previously, when you wanted to do a binary install, you had to specify command line option, so this is definitely easier in Portal 8. Slide 10. Okay. There are fixes for migration rolled into the latest version of Portal 8, the 8.0.0.1, so you want to make sure to use that. Slide 11. If you are doing a remote migration, you'll want to create a remote migration package. Basically, this will contain some executables that you can copy from your target environment to your source environment to run a command to export the source profile. And let's skip ahead to slide 14. Great. So for a cluster migration, one of the biggest nightmares that can happen is for the source and target environments to start syncing with each other. So WebSphere deployment managers and node agents speak on broadcast ports, so it's possible for this to happen. And we want to make sure we take a few precautions to prevent this. The first is going to be disabling auto-sync. It's a setting of the WebSphere Integrated Solution Console, and it prevents the deployment manager from automatically sending changes to the node agents. We'll do a couple other things as well, and I'll talk about them later, such as changing ports. Next slide. You'll also want to put in a plan in place to eliminate or limit changes during the migration window. The migration is already complex and will only be more difficult if the source environment continues to change. You'll need to log everything that is done and then manually perform the actions on the target environment. There is a method to bring over any new content that is authored during the migration window, and we'll discuss that later. Okay, next slide. Great. So after each section, I'm going to highlight some of the best practices again to emphasize them. You can see them on this slide. I do want to add that you should definitely refer to the wiki as there are several other tasks that you need to perform, such as making backups and ensuring that there's no log content. And if you look at the diagram, at the end of these steps, you should see that we've got a source and target environment with the latest code, symbolized by the little pluses, and we're ready to start the migration process. Okay, next slide, please. So this is slide 17. So in this next section, we're going to talk about exporting the source profile and importing it into the target environment. And basically, we're going to end up with a Portal 6.1 profile running on a WAS 8 server. So the first step is to export the source profile to backup using WAS pre-upgrade. WAS pre-upgrade is actually a WAS pass that Portal plugs into. One of the most common problems we see customers run into is an out-of-memory exception in WAS pre-upgrade and WAS post-upgrade. To prevent this, you want to make sure to clean up your source environment prior to running WAS pre-upgrade. Sometimes admins will maintain every iteration of an application for years or never clean up log files. This tends to build up and can take gigs of data and inflate the profile size, so you want to delete these. Also, you can uninstall any old applications that aren't being used and make sure to delete the years from the profile. It's also a good idea to specify gig size of at least 2 gigs You can use a larger seat size, but that's not usually necessary. Slide 20. So after running Moz pre-upgrade, you'll have a backup of your source profile that you can import into your target environment. So you'll want to copy this into your target environment. Since this will be imported with Moz post-upgrade, you'll also want to make sure to clean this up. Basically, the same things apply here. One new thing is that the JCR data is actually not touched at all during the Moz post-upgrade process. So to reduce the profile size, you can move it to another location and then copy to the target profile after Moz post-upgrade. Let's skip to slide 24. Next, you want to create a default profile in the target environment that will be used to import the backup profile. Now, you actually need to specify the same cell name and node name that was used in the source environment when creating the profile. It's a little bit tricky because the cell name and node name are generated based on the host name. And if the host name on the new server is very different from the source server, people don't want to use the original cell name and node name. If you do need to change the cell name and node name, you'll want to do this after the migration is complete. Next slide. Finally, we're going to import the backup of the profile using Moz post-upgrade. And if you move the JCR data out, make sure to copy it back. If you do end up getting an out-of-memory exception, the main strategy to get around this is either to decrease the profile size or increase the heap size. The heap size, of course, is limited by the amount of physical memory on the machine. If you do need to clean out the profile even more, one other thing to consider is deleting the search indexes. The format is actually different in Portal 8, and it's probably easier just to build it from scratch than to try to bring them over from the source environment. Slide 28. Great. The configuration is a part of the WP profile that will actually be the 6.1 version that was part of the source environment. So you need to run update configuration command. This will update the configuration on the profile to the Portal 8 version. This is going to be very critical because the main task for the migration is performed using configuration. And actually, one other thing I should mention about the slides is that a lot of commands are OS-specific. For example, it'll actually be upgrade configengine.bat on Windows and upgrade configengine.sh on Linux. I didn't want to cut up the slides by putting .sh and .bat for every command, but just keep that in mind. Commands are generally in this quarter new font, so they should stand out. Okay, next slide. Okay, so for the best practices for this section, as I said, out-of-memory exceptions are one of the most common problems that customers run into. It's kind of tough to run into this because it's like one of the first things that you do, so it can be discouraging. But it really is easy to get around. If you just take a good amount of time cleaning up the profiles before running the commands, there's generally not a problem. Also, as part of copying over the profile, you want to make sure to copy over any custom jars or files that are required by custom applications running on your server. You want to make sure that they're in place in your target environment. Otherwise, it's possible to get a class malfunction exception from your custom applications when the server starts up. And let's see, at this point, you're going to have a Portal 6.1 server running on your Portal 8 environment. You can see that in the diagram. You can actually start the server at this point and view web pages and kind of like a sort of checkpoint. But you'll want to make sure that you only start the application servers, not any deployment manager or node agents. Also, keep in mind that your servers will still be pointing to the original database, so it's probably better to wait until after this next section. And next slide, please. Great, slide 30. So the database migration is easily the most time-consuming process for most migrations. Just to give you a little background, originally the JCR schema was optimized for both read and write operations. This let us use dynamic tables that represented each of the JCR nodes. Because the tables were created dynamically, there could be thousands and thousands of them. Also, the Portal DB connection required higher access rights in order to create the tables. What we realized that was the performance really needs to be optimized for read. This got rid of the dynamic tables, and we started using very wide tables, where we combine all these tables into a very wide row, which each row corresponds to a JCR node. And this actually reduces the number of tables dramatically, but also increases the size of the tables. For instance, one of our largest customers had 1,500 tables, and this got reduced to about 70 tables, but the tables will all have between 12 million and 15 million rows. So you can see this is a very significant operation. But as I mentioned, this allows for much faster read times and provides better and more useful index for reads. So unfortunately, someone has to take the hit for this benefit, and in this case, it's going to be migration. There are several good things, though. For example, if it fails because it runs out of memory or something, it does resume where it left off. It'll see that it migrated so many rows and continues from where it left off. Because this operation does take a lot of time and a lot of transaction space, we came up with some SQL queries that can be used to estimate the amount of time and logging space that will be required for this to complete. And these are all published on the wiki. Also, as I mentioned, Porto no longer is creating tables dynamically, so the DBA access can be lower, and this will definitely make your DBAs happy. So you actually want to start off by making copies of databases. You can actually just copy the JCR and release domains, but if you've got enough room, it's better to copy all the databases. And this way you know for certain that the source environment is not being harmed. Slide 32. The DB type and DB domain property files were copied over in the proof file, so they actually still point to your original database. You're going to need to update them to point to the new database copies you just created, and also update any past required jar files for the JDBC drivers. Slide 33. Validate database actually just uses the settings in the properties file to make a database connection to verify that they're correct. And next slide. Connect database is the one that's going to do some work. It's going to update the target profile to connect to the new database copies. And this includes the Webster data sources and database drivers. And next slide. So typically, the database upgrade is done in the next section. The exception is for the ZLS platform. You need to manually run upgrade database for the databases to be migrated. It is a little bit tricky for admins that are not on ZLS because they see these steps in the wiki and they want to perform them. It does say, you know, clearly that it's ZLS only, but it's really easy to look past it and look at the meat of the content and think that you need to do it. Bottom line is, if you're on ZLS, if you're not using ZLS, you don't need to do this. It's going to be done for you automatically. Great. Next slide. Because there's so much work going into migrating the databases, this is typically another common failure point for customers. We've had customers with invalid data from data code and other unofficial sources in their production databases that would cause a DB migration to fail. This is kind of a pain after running for 5 or 6 hours and coming back the next day to see an error. We are updating the DB migration code as you run into these problems, so it's highly recommended to use the latest Porto 8.6 pack, as there's most likely a fix for the migration, and that's going to make the migration run more smoothly for you. Okay, next slide. Great. Upgrading the profile. So this is the section where we really start talking about the Porto migration. Everything has been going up to this point and just getting ready for this point. Slide 38. If you migrate the Porto profile to V8, you just run config engine upgrade profile. So that one command will update your Porto profile to version 8 and also upgrade your databases. By migrating your Porto profile, you'll automatically get all of your Webster configurations, security, the cell and node configurations, any applications that were installed, pretty much everything brought over to your target environment. On the portal side of things, all of your pages, customizations, personalization, and content should be brought over, which brings me to the next slide. Great. So I actually did scan the forum a little bit prior to this meeting and see several questions about the content-only migration. So this was actually an unofficial option that was available prior to Porto 8 that allowed someone to migrate just the DCR data over to an installed Porto server and then bring over any needed items manually. For example, you still need to manually go through all the security settings of the old and new environments to make sure they match, and also manually exporting applications from the old environment to the new environment, as well as pages and many other things. I think it became popular because people believed it was the safest way to migrate without disrupting the source environment. But to be honest, it's actually a lot more work than the official supported migration path that I'm discussing now, and the path that I'm talking about definitely ensures that the source environment is not harmed and will still be available during the migration. And I'll go into detail about this more a little bit later. In Porto 8, Wickham has actually become more integrated with Porto. In fact, it is now impossible to run Porto without Wickham. Because of this tighter integration and the introduction of managed pages, the content-only migration will no longer work and is not supported. Syndication for VPs will not work because of a new scope for managed pages. Content will be missing, and then also the Porto 8 server will get confused between the original content that existed when the Porto server was installed and any old content that was brought over from a non-managed pages server. And you know, really, there is not a benefit from the content-only migration as the standard portal migration does everything. And really the data part of that migration is the most time-consuming part of the migration. And you get so much more from the standard supported migration path. As I mentioned, you get all the pages, applications, customizations, personalization, security, Webster configs, there's so much more. And all of it's automatic and follow them by one single command, the upgrade profile. Another useful tip about the standard migration is that generally you can restart from wherever you left off by using the wp.migration.framework.resume flag. So if there's a problem during migration, you can generally check the logs, fix the issue, and restart where you left off. After this upgrade profile completes, you'll have a Portal 8 server that is hosting your old site exactly as it was in the previous version. The portal pages here are shown in red to highlight that they are not updated and are still in the old standard page format. And at this point, you're going to want to start the portal post-migration task. Next slide. So this is slide 40. There are actually a lot of portal migration tasks, so it's really best to refer to the wiki. And I think Karen just posted it into the chat, if you're not familiar with how to get to it. So it's really important to refer to that to get an idea of what needs to be done. The post-migration section is actually a little bit easier to follow than the standard migration section because it's only listed once. The standard migration is listed multiple times, once for each version, and then for clustered and standalone, so there's a lot of information on that process. One really important thing to point out is that you always want to complete post-migration tasks before enabling new features. For example, if you need to resync data after migration using Wiccan Post Migration Data Update, you need to do that before enabling managed pages and migrating the virtual portals. The reason for this is actually related to why content-only migration also does not work. Also, sometimes customers are surprised when the new server looks exactly like the old server after migration. There are a couple of tasks you can run that will update the default themes for Wiccan and the admin interface to get the new Portal 8 UI. Okay, slide 41. Next, I want to broaden the scope out a bit and talk about cluster migration. It really is the same process that we've done, but we need to repeat it over and over for each of the nodes. Also, I want to explain how this process is non-destructive and show the steps to ensure that the source environments and target environments can run simultaneously without corrupting each other. Slide 42. Great, so the first step is migrating the deployment manager. The deployment manager is the web server that is in charge of the self-configuration and ensuring that each node gets configuration updates. You basically do the first few steps required for the portal migration. There are a few differences, like the name of the generated remote package, and also we don't need to run the config engine upgrade or update profile tasks. And let's get to 47. Great. Hopefully the little animations are coming across for you. They might not be, but you can look at them later on yourself. So when you get to when you finish migrating the deployment manager profile, you'll end up with a deployment manager profile on your target environment. You want to make sure that this deployment manager is not started. Slide 48. So the next step is to stop the source deployment manager and node agents. The deployment manager and node agents are responsible for seeking self-configuration, so if they're all stopped, it's not going to be possible for their configuration to be corrupt. Right? So you can see that they've got little red X's to indicate that they're stopped. You can also see that there's green circles for the servers. The application servers can actually still be running during this process, and that's how you're able to still serve pages and ensure 24/7 support of your website while you're going through the migration, and nothing will be corrupt. So stopping the source deployment manager and node agents is actually the second step, right, to ensure that the source profile is not corrupted. The first was disabling the auto-sync, and we're at slide 49. So we need to install and import all the node profiles, and this is basically all the steps up until the WASP post upgrade of what I've covered previously. And let's skip up to slide 53. At this point, you're going to have a V7 profile loaded on all of your Portal 8 servers. That's slide 54. This next step is the most important step. You need to set your target deployment manager and node agents. Initially, they're going to be using the exact same broadcast ports as the source environment. That'll be shown if you actually skip to 55. Okay, so that's shown here with this red line, right? The previous source environment had a red line also. After starting them up, you want to modify the ports, usually by incrementing them by 100. Then after you do a full resynchronize and restart them, they should be using new ports. Let's go to slide 58. Okay, then you can see the blue line now to show that they're using different ports. Finally, you just basically go through the rest of the migration, node migrations as normal. The primary node migration will be a little bit special because it will be responsible for updating the applications, as there's only one copy of an application for a cell. But really, the steps are exactly the same as we walked through earlier. And 560. So as you can see, we've got the source and target environments both running simultaneously using different broadcast ports indicated by the red and blue lines. And slide 61. So for the cluster best practices, I want to reemphasize the three key components to making sure your source environment and target environment do not become corrupt. First, you want to make sure that you disable autosync. Second, you want to make sure that the source deployment manager and node agents are stopped during the migration. The servers can still be running. And third, don't forget to set up unique ports in the target environment. Okay, slide 62. So we've actually covered a lot of ground now, but I want to increase the scope a little bit more and start talking about migration strategies for multiple environments. And I'll go over three different scenarios. Slide 63. The first is a standard tiered portal environment. For this strategy to work, all the environments need to be the same. Slide 64. You start off by making sure that the lowest tier has the most up-to-date content. And let's skip to slide 69. Great. Then you can migrate the lowest tier. And this strategy is great because typically the lowest tier is a standalone server, so you only need to do one migration. And next slide. Finally, you want to build out the rest of the environments using the standard staging to production and release builder processes. And let's go to slide 73. So an alternative to this is to migrate the production environment and then build down the other environments. You may want to do this if customization is really important, as that can't be carried over by staging to production. Okay, slide 74. So this next scenario is a large cluster. Rather than migrating the deployment manager and all the nodes, you can use staging to production to build a standalone server. Slide 76. Then just do a single migration to that server, from that server to the target environment. Slide 77. And then you can build out the rest of the cluster using the portal cluster creation steps. 78. Great. So in this process, you have, six different machines, but you only had to do the migration one time because we created a staging environment. Slide 79. This last scenario I'll cover is a lockdown environment where the source environment cannot be updated to the latest fix pack in order to do a migration. The process is basically the same as the previous scenario. Slide 80. So you're going to use staging to production again to create a staging server and then apply the fix pack that couldn't be applied in production and then migrate to the target environment. And slide 82. Then you're going to build out the rest of the cluster with a portal clustering step. Slide 83. Thank you. In this section, I wanted to highlight that migrating multiple environments doesn't mean running portal migration for every single server. It's possible to use existing portal administration tools like staging to production and release builder to cut down the amount of work needed. Also, I want to reemphasize that for Portal 8 and for future releases, the content-only migration does not work and will not be supported, but should not be considered when creating your migration strategy. And slide 84. Okay, so we're getting to the end now. I want to talk about two of the big changes in Portal 8. The first is managed pages. So basically, prior to Portal 8, pages and content were maintained separately. So it's possible for a new page to be published before the content was syndicated. And this will lead to gaining pointers in the new pages. To fix this issue and also allow more workflow and control over pages in Wickham, the pages are now treated as content items. And that's really all that is meant by managed pages. In the diagram, on the left, you can see a tree of web pages, and on the right, the content that is associated with those pages. After the migration, managed pages is not enabled, and this is how your pages will look. Next slide, slide 85. There are two steps for enabling managed pages. The first is the three tasks listed, and what these do is import the existing pages into the portal site library so that the pages can be treated as content items. Basically, turns them into managed pages. Next slide. The next step, internalize content mappings, updates the content mappings to be associated with the managed pages. I mentioned this earlier, but make sure you don't enable this, that you don't enable managed pages until you've completed any post-migration tasks, especially resyncing the Wickham content. Next slide. Great. This last set of slides is about static pages. This is important because in order to use Portal 8 themes, your pages will need to be migrated to static pages. Static pages is a new page format in Portal 8, and it defines the concept of a page layout and adds information about styles to the pages. A page layout is basically the structure of a portlet container in a portal page. Previously, page layouts were kind of like HTML tables where you could just continue adding new columns and rows by appending them in the HTML. In Portal 8, because layouts are now defined, and continue style, and so it takes more planning and work to set up a new layout. You need to define what the layout is going to look like, label each of the sections, and assign style information to the portlet containers. So the diagram on the bottom shows the portlet environment after we completed the migration. You'll notice a lot of pretty eights there, but there's still one glaring 6.1, and these are the portal pages, which are in the original standard format. Next slide. So the portal page migration tool is available in the Business Solutions catalog. There's a link to that in the references section. And it takes a XML page tree to export and migrates them to static pages. The original pages are not modified and can always be re-imported if there's a problem. The tool runs analysis on the source pages and will determine the layouts of the pages and then print the portal 8 layout that will be used for the migration. Out of the box, the tool can support the default portal layout, and I'm sure you've seen those icons before. But because of the possibility of custom layouts, the tool cannot be automated. For example, if you have a very complex portal layout like the one on the left side, there really isn't a suitable algorithm on how to map all the portlets into a two-column layout. Next slide. Next slide, 89. So let's go into a little bit more detail on the process. So in the top corner is the Portal 8 website, with only the default Portal 8 layouts defined. And in the middle is the Portal Page Migration tool with the default settings and default layouts. Slide 90. So you start by exporting the page tree from your source environment. Next slide. Then if you know of any custom layouts in the source pages, you'll want to create custom layout definitions that the tool can use to detect these layouts when reading in the source pages. Next slide. Next, you want to create custom layouts in the Portal 8 environment. This means creating a layout on a server and naming the sections of the layouts and assigning styles to each of the sections. Slide 93. Next, you want to update the settings in the page migration tool to include rules for mapping from the custom layouts to the new Portal 8 layouts. Slide 94. Finally, you can run analysis to determine if all the layouts were defined correctly and see if there are any other custom layouts that need to be created. And you actually need to run through those steps multiple times as you find more and more custom layouts that need to be defined. Slide 95. Okay, when everything looks okay, you'll run the actual page migration, which will create a new set of pages and a new page tree of XML files. And the originals are only read and are not modified, so they're always safe. And the last step is to import the pages. So after you run the migration, import the pages on a server, you can look at them and verify that they look correct. You will need to delete the original pages from the server before importing the new pages, but as I said, you have copies of them already exported. Now, the converted pages will have the same page IDs as the original pages and all the personalization should still work. So here's some of the resources that I referenced. The names are hotspots, so you should be able to just click on them in the PDF, but I also pasted the text for the URL in case those links do not work. And the last slide. So at this time, Jennifer, should I hand it back over to you?
Sure. Thanks, Joseph. That was great. And Aaron will be all set to poll for the questions there if you want to do that.
One moment, please. And we did have a couple questions. Q, are you ready to take those?
Sure am. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Our first question comes from Dave. Your line is open.
Yes. The question I have is, how do we manage page updates that are going on to the old V7 environment? How do we get those over to the V8 environment? Because our migration might take months.
So are you talking specifically about like new authored content?
It could be content, but I'm actually also thinking about portal pages. If we're not to use XML access, if we're supposed to do this profile migration and all the databases get updated, how do we get old pages from the old environment to the new environment?
So you can actually still use XML access. So if there are any pages that are created in the source environment, you could export them and then just import them into the new environment.
And they often involve references to content.
Yeah, so what you want to do is, I mentioned the task to resync the Wickham content after the migration is complete. And
yeah.
So you can bring over those pages and run that task to bring over all the new content. But you want to make sure, as I mentioned, that you don't enable manage pages or anything else, any of the new function prior to doing that data resync. Once you enable the new functionality, the ability to resync your Wickham content is no longer available.
I understand. So, but there's no dependence on the release database in this migration process. It's really just the JCR that's being modified.
Yes.
So we could just do a full XML access when we as part of our release. We don't need to. You know, I'm just trying to understand what the requirements are for the release database. In the custom database.
So you have a couple choices, right? So if you have a typical staging to production model, this is Barry, by the way, Barry Pellis. If you have a typical staging to production stack, you can remigrate over and over again as many times as you like to refresh the content and then just syndicate and XML access export import from the version 8 system to repopulate your stack. Or alternatively, you can do what Joseph said and after you've done the migration process, you can use the WCAM-only resync to update that data. But as far as the release content, you can just export or import the pages that have changed.
I'm not sure I caught all that, but I'm still guessing we still, in the first migration, we actually are migrating the release database. And
yeah.
Then you're saying we could subsequently follow up with individual XML access from our old system.
Right, if you're making changes, that's true. Or you can remigrate the entire system again and use staging to production at that point to populate.
What, considering that we'll be linked to content, what is the IBM recommended path? A full remigration?
It doesn't matter. Both of them are supported scenarios.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from Nagesh. Your line is open.
Hey, this is Nagesh, and since Portal 8 brought up new themes, so as part of the migration, if you're developing a new theme and try to import the pages or from the version 7, which themes were used, like Page Builder 2, something like that, and you really can't import the pages, right? I mean, you have to recreate, or is there any mechanism that, you know, export the XML on the version 7 and just apply the theme or references and import? Does it work? Or on the version 8, you will use the projects to create the pages and, you know, do the configuration, whatever, the content viewer, portlet configuration. I mean, do we need to, like, do a manual thing, or is there any automation?
So this is actually related to that static pages that I mentioned, where you can use the portal page migration tool to convert your standard pages to the new static page format. So you can define your new theme in Portal 8. There's a development document, and it's very detailed in the process that you need to create a new theme and also new layouts. So that's going to be one of the key things is
So that means it's a total duplicate effort, right? Or I won't say a duplicate, but it's like, you know, it's a re-effort thing, right? Creating the pages from the scratch, creating the layouts. I mean, that's leveraging the Portal 8 features, but basically you need to do everything. Migration, right?
So, yeah, for a custom layout, we don't automatically transform the custom layout to a Portal 8 layout. If you had like a standard a page with a standard layout that matched the default layout that exists with Portal after the base install, that could be brought over automatically. But if you've got a custom layout, custom theme, it's just not feasible for us to be able to think of every possible combination. The way that the pages worked in Portal 8 is kind of like an HTML table, right, where you can just keep adding rows and columns and you can make any kind of shape that you wanted, right? But for Portal 8, you need to have a fixed kind of structure for every single page container that you can have. And for each of those structures, you need to define what the style is going to be within that structure. So first off, we don't know what style the customer is going to want to use in that new page. And we also don't, you know, it's just not possible to iterate through every single possible kind of combination of the HTML table rows. And even if we did that, we wouldn't know, you know, maybe there's a top row that's really big and a bottom row that's really small. And then, you know, the left row is really small, but the right side is really big. And there's just so many different ways to have a page look, that we can't make one solution that's going to fit for every single piece. But yes, so it is, if you've got custom layout, you would need to. Exactly. And really, you know, creating a new theme has always been a manual process, right? You need to define exactly what colors you want, what styles you want, how wide you want things to be, right? All that is stuff that had to be done previously, because there's really not that much of a change.
And my next question is on the content side. So is it possible that the syndication from Portal 8 to Portal 7 environments, I mean, we still have, if we have, like, you know, Portal 7 environments are running, would it be possible to syndicate from Portal 8 to 7?
No, you can't syndicate between different versions.
No, but it's a lesser version, right? I mean, it is. You cannot syndicate anything higher versions, but still the downwards should work, right? All right.
No, so in Portal 8, the content is much different, right? At the table, like I explained, the database schema is completely different, and because we're using managed pages, you know, Portal 7 doesn't even know what a managed page is, right? So if it sees that, it's not going to know what to do with it. So all the links between content and pages is different. The way that the pages are scoped for virtual portals is different, so it's not compatible between the two, neither direction.
Okay, so but if you're migrating from 7 to 8, would be just, you know, exporting the libraries would do the job, or do you need that? That would work, right? Or the content, your custom libraries, part of content migrations, you would just do an export library rather. Since there is a schema change, you really can't copy or clone JCR, right? Did you get the question?
Yeah, so Barry, do you know that? So I think he's asking about exporting the content libraries between the two versions.
Yes.
Yeah, you can. This is Dinesh speaking. You can export the libraries and import into V8. However, you will get only the live items.
Drafts and versions are not included.
Yeah, drafts and versions are not included.
But you are exporting entire library, right? I mean, you didn't specify, it's not a syndication. You are doing the export part, right?
The export import will export only the live items. That is the design for the export import process. So if you need the drafts and all versions, you need to do a full migration.
Okay. So what about the content template like CTC? If you are using the lower version and I see it, the 8.0.0.1, I mean, we have a PMR support on the CTC 4.
Yeah, 8.1 requires you to have CTC version 4 or later, which is available in the catalog, and the download also includes instructions for you to upgrade the previous version of CTC application.
But when you are doing a migration, is it a good practice to install fresh, I mean, you will install the portal and WCM8 and install CTC, or you install CTC, the lower version, and upgrade?
When if you're not installed or if you don't have the previous version already, I would recommend using the latest one.
Because the path and everything would be same, right? Whatever with the old, it's not. Only new things will be added, but your previous environment was with lower version and your new environment with latest CTC, and it should work as expected, right? I mean, no surprises there, because when you do the content migrations, you are not doing the CTC part. You are doing just the custom libraries, and the CTC, you would be installing the latest CTC 4, and that should work as it is expected, right? Or is it something we need to do?
So what exactly do you mean by content migration? When you do a full, you get everything in the JCR, that's WCM libraries and everything, PZN. So what exactly you mean by content-only migration?
Well, let's say you have libraries, right? I mean, test libraries or your custom libraries along with your CTC. When you install the CTC, you got CTC design and the CTC content libraries, right? And
with a full migration, those are also migrated. So if you take a copy of your JCR database and you go through the migration process, so any libraries that's already there in the previous version, it should be available. You have five libraries that comes with the CTC application, and with 3.1 to V4, there is a process available to upgrade to latest version of CTC application.
But you said the portlet has a different JCR schema, so that JCR migration is allowed there, or, I mean?
Yeah, that's part of the when you do a full portal migration, the JCR data is taken with it. So CTC is stored in the JCR because they're WCM libraries. And then, of course, there's the pages and the portlets that are associated with the CTC. I don't actually know what the migration story for that is, but I assume it's part of the portal migration. If you do a full portal migration, you'll get all the portlets and the pages and the underlying CTC data because that's stored in the JCR.
Right.
Okay, so once you do the full migration, then you will upgrade that with the CTC4, right? That would be the best practice?
I would believe so, yes.
Okay.
Yes, and you actually need to remove before
it's a fully supported application.
Before you upgrade the CTC, you need to remove the CTC3 installer. If it's in place, you need to remove the CTC3 installer.
Okay. Thank you.
Chet, can you elaborate on that a little bit? Can you explain and elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, if you try to upgrade to the CTC4 and the CTC3 installer after migration is in place, what happens is we try to import the CTC libraries again during the CTC upgrade. So the CTC libraries are upgraded, they're imported multiple times. What happens is the CTC3 installer and the installation of CTC4 results in the libraries importing multiple times rather than just once, and it will cause the install to fail.
So this is, I'm assuming, documented, Chet, in the CTC?
It is not, and that's part of the reason I bring it up. It's something that we just ran into. It's documented in... It's documented, but it's not documented clearly in the correct place. So we're working on getting the documentation updated. We're also fixing the script, so even if a customer does have it in place, CTC3 installer, we will handle that, but currently it's not handled. So you do need to remove that CTC installer. even if you have the fix in place when you do that, probably a good idea to remove it. We're actually going to handle it, but it's a good idea to remove it.
Okay. Garen, your line is open for your question.
So this is Garen. It seems like the majority of this call has been focused on the traditional WebSphere cluster migration. Will there be, or did I miss a farming version of this talk?
The farming is completely supported as well, and so is for this entire process. But since farms are standalone servers, we don't really distinguish a whole lot between the standalone migration and a farm migration. So you would migrate your master server and then make copies of the databases the same way you saw it today, and then just build out new farm nodes once you've done that on the master. So you obtain a new master and then just build out new farm nodes. And all of this is documented.
Okay, thank you.
Next, we have Riaz. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. This is Riaz. So my question is, like, you know, we have exported pages from 6.15, version 6.15 to version 8.0. So we would like to know, like, you know, this practice, by this practice, like, you know, is the pages compatible with the 8.0 version? And, like, what I mean to say is, like, you know, is it workflow and all when I do export from the 6.15 to 8.0? Or do I need to run any configuration tasks?
So when you bring extra pages like that from 6.1 to 8,
yes,
they're not going to be able to have the Wickham workflow or be able to be modified in the Wickham UI. You have to manage them, or you have to edit them and modify them as you did in previous versions of Portal. So that's the static page conversion process that we talked about. And if you use the Portal page migration tool prior to importing them into your Portal 8 environment, they'll have the new static page format, and then you'll be able to just, you know, update the layout using the Portal 8 UI, add Portal 8 workflows, and basically it'll be treated like a Portal 8 page.
Oh, okay. So we should go for the PPT, you are saying, like, no? That way you can...
Yes, there's a link to the tool to download. Also, I should emphasize that the doc that's released with the tool is very simple. It's just like a kind of overview of the process and the steps. I'm actually writing a more detailed doc that describes the process of creating layouts and just defines the process more better for developer work that should be done in a week or two.
Okay. So my next question was, like, you know, in your slideshow you said I don't see anything about this theme migration per se. Like, you know, we had a custom theme in a 615, and we are rewriting that custom theme in 8.0 using the portal the page builder theme actually. There is no theme migration per se, right?
Correct. So when the theme is brought over from the previous environment, it looks exactly the same and acts exactly the same as it did previously. There's no modifications to it.
That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Okay. I believe it's Dean. Your line is open for your question.
Yes, this is Dean. The question I have is two parts. At the end of last year, we migrated from version 6.0.1 to version 7, and all this discussion about the pages and things and how pages are handled differently in version 8. The first part of the question is do we need to do anything with the pages that we migrated from version 6.0 to be ready for version 8, and then also the does the 7.0.0.2 theme get us into the version 8 style of format of the pages, and how is that handled under the covers?
So the Portal 7 theme and the Portal 8 theme are still different, so that's still not going to get you the Portal 8 functionality for the pages. The Portal 8 is where the changes were introduced, and anything prior to that is not going to work with the Portal 8 Lookup UI and the Portal 8 workflow. As far as the Portal 6 pages, so this tool was kind of like a best effort tool that we created to help customers, because really the only other option was to manually do this page and the page migration of, you know, updating the XML, putting in these little files, and to do that for thousands of pages obviously would be an impossible task. And we tested with, the supported direct migration paths of 6.1 and 7, but we didn't specifically test with any Portal 6 pages, but I also don't see a reason why that wouldn't work, but I can't say for sure that it will work. The Portal 6 pages and Portal 7 pages, Portal 6.1 pages can all be imported into your Portal 8 environment. You can see them. People can, access them on your website. But they're not going to be able to take use of any of the Portal 8 functionality, like applying a Portal 8 theme or, updating the look and feel or the page layout in the Portal 8 UI, or be applied to any Portal 8 workflows.
Okay, and then you talked about the Wickham pages now. Version 7 has something that you can create a Wickham page itself in version 7. Is that different than the version 8 as well? You basically can add content to a page, I believe, is how it is. I haven't done it.
Okay. Yeah, so Portal 8 has its own, page format, and you are able to add content directly to the Portal 8 UI. But the pages that you create, that way in Portal 7 are still going to be the standard Portal page format that was used previously and not the same format as the Portal 8 pages.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically, when you bring over an old page from an existing server to Portal 8, it works just as it did previously. You just don't get any of the new functionality in Portal 8.
So as far as the page configuration goes, as far as what we understand it, it being in a release database in version 7, that transfers over to in version 8 to a different format, different database then?
No, it gets transferred to Portal 8 exactly as it was in Portal 7 during the migration process. There's no automatic changes to any of the pages. Basically after the migration, your Portal 8 will have the Portal 8 binaries, that have a profile converted to Portal 8. All the features will be installed, but they're not deployed. And your configuration will be the 8 version, but the databases will be the 8 version, but the pages remain whatever version they were originally. There's nothing done to modify the pages at all.
So with version 8, you would also work with pages and the page hierarchy through XML access, or does that change as well?
No, that works.
Right. The big difference with version 8 is that whenever you turn on Manage Pages, there's a configuration task that Joseph mentioned, a series of them actually, to turn on Manage Pages. And at that point, he showed it in his slides, but it basically will create a shadow copy of your portal page hierarchy in the Wickham database. And that's what allows you to syndicate your pages. And that's what we call Manage Pages. So until you do that after you've finished your migration process, it will behave exactly like it did before.
Okay, so that's a post migration process.
Correct.
Yes. Very, very post.
Yeah. In order to use, if you want to use any of the new functionality, you go to that level, but you don't have to do it right at migration time.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Okay, I want to thank everyone today. A recording of this event is taking place, so we will post this recording to the tech note we've linked to here several times, 703-8012. So that's the same document that had the call-in numbers and so forth. And so in that document, we'll have the slides, we'll have a recording, and we'll have the Q&A once we get that documented. So, again, I want to thank all the developers for their time today on the panel. Joseph, great job on the slides. Thanks everyone for attending and the response to the poll.
Hey, Jennifer, this is Prahlad, and I also posted our emails. I want everyone to reach out to us. If you have a follow-up question that remains unanswered, you can email to us using the email I mentioned. Also, we would like to know if you are beginning migration to version 8, we would like to know, so drop us a line.
All right. That's a generous offer. Thank you very much. Yep, that'll do it. That'll do it for the housekeeping, and that'll do it for today. So thank you again for everything, and thank you, Aaron, for your help.
Thank you for your participation on today's call. You may disconnect at this time.